totally get that. I totally get that. And I mean, I'm enjoying fall break. I feel ashamed because I haven't really done much. I've started a couple papers, but not a lot of stuff to really say I've accomplished. But this fall break is going pretty well. So before we dive in to Bluffton athletics, I do want to talk about some of this weekend in pro and college sports. So on Saturday, I was able to go to the Ohio State Indiana game, and my goodness, that was fun. That was really fun, man. I had a good time. Me and my pops, we went. It was a 4 o'clock. It was hot. It was a hot Saturday.
Oh yeah, for sure.
My goodness, man. I was kind of worried there that first half of the Buckeye game. They were not playing well. Then second half came around and they put the business on. Indiana won 49-26, but hey, a victory is a victory. On the way home, we were listening to, I think it was 97.1 The Fan, the sports radio show out of Columbus, and they were interviewing Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback for the Buckeyes, and I guess he was 3 yards shy of the single game passing record for Ohio State.
Oh,
yeah, he's like, well, man, rough. If I would have known that, I would have had Coach draw up a quick pass play, and it would have been mine. But you know, it's all right, it's whatever. So that was fun. Yesterday was my mom's birthday, so I got to spend the day with her. We went out to B-Dubs, a great place to spend a birthday, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was busier than, like, oh my goodness. It was so, I'm never going to Buffalo Wild Wings ever again on Sunday. My goodness, man, it was so packed.
Well, I mean, you have all the football games, yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah, all the football games were on, and all the crazy Ohioans who are diehard NFL fans. A lot of Bengals fans in there, which surprised me. I figured there would be a lot of Browns fans. But I saw some Packer fans in there, too, so that kind of shook me up a little bit. I think they lost. I can't remember if they actually won or not. I think they lost to Detroit. But right now, there's... the Dodgers are going on. My Dodgers are actually losing right now. It's top of the fifth of game four of the National League Division Series. The Braves are up 2-1 with one out, top of the fifth. I'm sorry to all the Indians fans out there. That Trent just cried a little bit. that's a bummer, man. 11-3. Ouch. Guys get swept by the reigning World Series champions, the Houston Astros. Doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. That series did not look good to start with. The Indians just struggled, man. They struggled. Tonight, though, at around 7:40, it will be game three of the Yankees and Red Sox. That'll be an interesting game to watch. Also tonight at 8:15 on ESPN, it will be the Washington Redskins taking on the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans. That's going to be a pretty darn good game. The Saints are 3-1 right now. This is their last game heading into their bye week next week. And Washington coming out of their bye, looking to take on the red-hot Saints in New Orleans. It's going to be a tough game, I think, for Washington, really, to try to...
They need to run the ball a lot with Adrian Peterson.
Are you losing right now in fantasy?
Yeah, I'm losing by, like, 14 or 15, and I only have Adrian Peterson left, and everyone has played on his team, and he has 3 guys with 0 points, and he's still beating me.
That's just rough.
It's not my week this week.
That's rough. Well, looking at my leagues, I actually secured the dub in both, so I'm on a roll. Yep, dab on it.
I was on a roll. I started out 3-0.
Yeah.
And now I'm 3-1. About to be probably 3-2. So
you gotta have faith, man. You gotta have faith.
Nah, I have guys on my bench. I just forget to switch out, forget to edit my lineup a little bit. So
right.
It happens.
We won't talk much about the rest of the NFL or the MLB or really anything that's not Bluffton. So we'll take our first quick break and we'll dive into recapping the week of Bluffton Athletics. You're listening to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit.
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Your home for Beaver Athletics. 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back here to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit. I am your host, Tyler Avila. That last song you just heard was The Last of the Real Ones by Fall Out Boy. So, Trent, we are going to dive in and discuss a couple of our athletic teams in this first segment. Well, I guess our second segment, because we just came back from break. Well, there's three teams over this weekend who did not compete this week. That was the men's and women's cross-country team and the women's golf team. They will be back in action this weekend, and we'll start off with both cross-country teams. For the women's, like I said, they will be in action this weekend. Saturday, September 13th, is the Interregional Rumble at Oberlin University. The women's team will race at 10:30, with the men following at 11:15. So, Trent and I would like to wish both teams the best of luck this weekend in racing. And the women's golf team, as I mentioned, was off this weekend. They had their HCAC preview at Liberty Country Club last weekend. They placed 10th overall, which is not bad. It's not bad. But they are back at that same golf course this weekend for the HCAC Championships. So we'd like to wish the women's golf team and Coach Craig the best of luck on the tees this weekend. But the team that was in action this weekend, or this past weekend, I should say, was the men's golf team. They competed at the Mount St. Joseph State Line Shootout at Indian Ridge Golf Course. Day one was held on Saturday, and they teed off at 11. And this men's golf team, they kicked off the weekend with its best round since the program was reignited when the Beavers shot a 330 at Indian Ridge Golf Club on Saturday, October 6th. Yeah, Trent over here is clapping silently. Come on, man. You gotta give the audience the ambient sound. Hey, that's all right. It's all right. Leading the way was freshman Spencer Daniels. He broke an 80 with a 79 on Saturday. Michael Femiani was just two strokes back at 81, while Anthony Mungio fired a season-low 83. Fellow freshmen Nick Offenberger and Carter Mumbauer both finished with 85s, and Dakota Pratt checked in with an 87. So that was day one. So they were back in action on Sunday to try to continue that hot play. They teed off on Sunday, yesterday, at 9 a.m. They capped off the weekend with a 350 at Indian Ridge Golf Club on Sunday. Sophomore Michael Femiani was a model of consistency over the weekend, shooting an 82 after an 81 on Saturday. Spencer Daniels, Dakota Pratt, and Anthony Mungia were separated by just two strokes at the state line shootout, 171, 172, and 173, respectively, for those three fellow golf team members, while Carter Mumbauer was just off the pace with a 76. Nick Offenberger and Julian Lavelle went 180 and 189, respectively. This men's team will be off this weekend before they wrap up the fall portion of its 2018-2019 slate on October 20th and 21st. So not this weekend, but next weekend, when they travel to the Anderson Country Club for the HCAC preview. So they have this weekend off to have the girls, let the girls do their championship tournament this weekend, and they will be at their preview next weekend. So good luck to this women's golf team and the men's golf team here in a couple weeks. Guys, I mean, for year two of this golf program, man, they've been kicking butt.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of struggled a little bit at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
But then it seems like they've gotten into on a pace and a roll, and they've just improved
right
every single week. Their scores are going, well, I guess their scores are getting lower because it's golf. So the lower your score, the better.
Yeah, you want them lower.
So their scores are getting lower, which means that week by week they're improving, which is what we all want to see out of them.
Yeah, no doubt. And especially, I mean, I know the returning golf team members, they've had some of these courses under their belt, but these freshmen who've came in, they've really impressed me, and I'm really looking forward to see what the next couple of years bring with this men's and women's golf team. And I hope Coach Craig can keep up the great work that he has going this year with both teams. So moving on from the men's and women's golf team, we will dive into women's soccer before we wrap up this second segment. So the women's soccer team had a game over the weekend at home at the Sears Complex on Saturday. Both the men's and women's soccer teams hosted Franklin in the doubleheader on Saturday. The Bluffton University women's soccer team hit the field to face off against the Franklin College Grizzlies on Saturday, October 6th. Despite a quick attack by the Beavers, the Grizzlies were too much to handle as they rolled to a 7-2 rout of Bluffton. The Beavers dropped to 1-9-1 overall and 0-3 in the HCAC, while Franklin improved to 5-6-1 and 2-1 in the conference. Bluffton was the first team to strike in the third minute when Julia Gibson found the back of the net. 1 minute later, a goal by Jalen Gorman evened up the score at 1-1. Franklin would continue its onslaught with four more scores to take on a 5-1 lead at the break. Now, Trent, I was unable to be there. How did that first half play out for these ladies' soccer team?
I missed like the first 30 minutes of the game. I watched the second 15, I guess, of the second half, and then I had to go get ready for our game. But so when I got out there, I believe it was 4-1.
Okay.
4-1. And I mean, it looked kind of like it was going back and forth. My parents were actually there for the entirety of the game, and I was like talking to them because I was like, well, how, like, what happened? How did like the score like get this or this? And they said, like, we came out, like I said in the recap, we scored first. And then they said within like the next 5 minutes,
seemed like everything just fell apart.
Yeah, it just looked like Franklin just like took over the game and just put like back-to-back-to-back goals in.
Right. Now, did the ladies just get too comfortable with that quick lead? Like,
they came out right off the bat and they said Julia Gibson, she was the one that scored that first goal for us. It looked like it
that was just her actual first goal of her career too, so congrats to Julia.
They said it was just a good shot.
Mm-hmm.
She just put it away, and then I don't know if they just stopped, like shut off mentally for a little bit, and then that happened. They were like, oh no, and then their second half, they held it 2-1, so the second half was definitely a closer game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that first half just ran away from them a little bit.
Yeah, so the Grizzlies made it 6-1 with another strike in the 62nd minute by Maddie Fleet. The Beavers would show some signs of life less than a minute later after Julia Gibson scored her second goal of the day off a dish from Aubrey Bartel. Fleet would sneak in another goal, giving her four tallies on the afternoon and a 7-2 victory over the home team. Gibson led the Bluffton crew with two goals on her only two shots of the day. Skylar Liming finished with three attempts, including one on frame. In the net for the Beavers was sophomore Sienna Sullivan, who snagged eight saves for the Beavers. Next up for Bluffton will be a road contest at Earlham on Wednesday, October 10th at 3:30 p.m. when the Beavers look to put their first HCAC win in the books. Now, looking at the conference in women's soccer, I mean, Bluffton's tied for last with Earlham and Manchester, so they could have a shot on Wednesday to come out with a victory, and that'd be a heck of a lot of momentum heading into the weekend, too.
Definitely, yeah.
So looking at the standings, Hanover is at the top of the conference for women's soccer at 3-0 in the conference. They are 10-1 overall. That's insane, dude.
Impressive.
Yes.
Very impressive.
Mount St. Joe is second in the conference. They are 2-0-1, 9-1-3 overall. Transylvania, who is 2-0-1, 9-2-2 overall. They are tied with Mount St. Joseph for that second place spot. I would assume that Mount St. Joseph and Transylvania are the ones who tied. But then again, there's two ties.
So
Anderson,
Anderson
Mount St. Joseph and Transylvania tied with Anderson. because Anderson has two ties on the year.
In the conference.
In the conference, yes. That's what I meant.
Okay.
So Rose, who is in that third place spot, technically, with Mount St. Joe and Transylvania tied for second. They are 2-1, 7-5 overall. Franklin is now 2-1, 5-6-1 overall. Anderson is 1-0-2, 4-2-4 overall. Defiance is 1-2. That lone win coming against the Beavers this past Wednesday. Defiance is now 1-10 overall. Earlham is 0-3, 6-6 overall. Bluffton is 0-3, 1-9-1. And Manchester is 0-3, 0-13 overall.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's...
Ouch, that's rough.
It's a little shaky there for Manchester, but I got faith in all of our teams in the conference. I mean, being here, this is my senior year, like, you learn to grow and support your teams in the conference, unless they're playing the Beavers. Because the stronger the conference, I feel like the stronger the competition.
Yeah.
And I like good competition. Like, I don't like blowouts. And
yeah, close games are definitely more entertaining and more fun to be a part of than
right.
a shutout, like a blowout shutout.
Right. So, and looking at this game, like you mentioned, the Beavers kept it close in that second half. So like, I really would have liked to watch that second half of the ladies' soccer game.
I mean, the first half, other than that, for those couple minutes where they kind of shut off and they scored a whole bunch of goals. Other than that, like when I was out there, it was pretty back and forth. I mean, yeah. I only watched, I think, one of their goals go in. So
right. So Trent and I will be right back here with the Beaver Dam as we will wrap up the show talking about Trent's men's soccer team and their game on Saturday. We'll talk about the volleyball game and the football game over the weekend. You're listening to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit.
Get out of the car!
Basil was hit head-on on a freeway.
After the accident, the police put a gun to my head.
Police assumed he was the bad guy. He spent 6 days in the hospital.
I was angry, and the Lord said to me, "You could have been dead, but your wife and family need you." From that time on, there was no bitterness or anger in my heart, not against the police or anyone.
Even when you've been wronged, consider the freeing power of forgiveness. This encouragement to forgive brought to you by the Mennonite churches and this station.
Your home for Beaver football. 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back here to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit. I am your host, Tyler Avila, joined along with my partner in crime, Trent Mast. And in our last segment, like I mentioned before the break, we will recap and talk about men's soccer, volleyball, and football. And we'll also give you an update to all the, probably, I don't know how many Dodger fans really are here in Ohio or in Bluffton, but I'll keep you guys up to date with that right after we talk about football. So on Saturday, like the women's soccer team, the men's soccer team hosted Franklin, and not a good day for the men. It was a really good game, just not how they wanted it to end. In a HCAC battle against Franklin, it was a wire-to-wire contest, but the Grizzlies were able to edge out the Beavers after a late go-ahead goal gave Franklin a 2-1 win over Bluffton. The heartbreaking defeat dropped the Beavers to 1-11 on the season and kept them winless in the conference at 0-3. The Grizzlies improved to 3-9 overall and 1-2 in conference play. The Beavers would get on the board first in the 19th minute after Jacob Kiger powered home a goal to give Bluffton a 1-0 advantage. Bluffton just missed out on another goal 5 minutes later when Christian Zapata ripped a shot off the post. Strong defensive play by the Beavers kept the score at 1-0 heading into the halftime. So Trent, actually, how much did you get to play in this game?
14, 15 minutes or so.
It's not bad.
No, I was playing, we call it a wing back. It's more of a defensive position that pushes offensively when the ball's more on their side of the field.
Okay. Kind of walk through that close first half.
So in the first half, really it was more of us pushing the ball offensively. I mean, they had a couple chances here and there. Good chances, actually. They were near misses, right off outside, right up, like just too above, too high.
Mm-hmm.
Really close misses, but I mean, they weren't putting anything away in the first half. And, I mean, Jake Kiger, his goal, it was kind of like a hustle play. Like, he broke two defenders, like, split them, went right through them, chipped it up. Looked like the keeper got, like, a little bit of a hand on it. He just went and then put it away himself again. So, congrats, Jake. I mean, that was his, I believe that was also his first collegiate goal.
Yeah, and congrats to Kiger there with that goal.
And then that, I mean, Zapata, when he shot that, I wasn't in the game yet, but he shot that. I was like, oh, that's a...
Did it look good?
It looked good from where I was, and it just nearly hit, bounced back in, and they had a defender there, cleared it away. But, I mean, we were working the ball. We had some good chances. I mean, we put one away, but we just didn't have any more chances there in the first half that we put away. I mean, we had Zapata's chance, near miss.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we weren't really... Those were our two really, really good chances in that first half.
Okay. Well, so the Grizzlies broke the ice in the 73rd minute when Franklin's Jordan Thomas hit pay dirt off an assist by Sam Stahlsmith, which evened up the score at 1-1. Thomas went to the well again just over a couple minutes later, putting Franklin up with 6 minutes to play. Bluffton would have an attempt to tie the game up in the 87th minute after a Zapata kick, but it was knocked away by the Franklin keeper, Jake Hendricks. Another attempt to even up the game came in the 89th minute mark when Dalton Tanner took a header, but that shot was again saved by Hendricks. Kiger led the Beavers offense, firing a total of 3 shots on the day, including Bluffton's first half goal. The Bluffton offense finished on the short end of a 22-11 Franklin shooting advantage. Hunter Flecht did solid work in the net, collecting 6 saves on the afternoon. So, kind of walk through that second half. Like, what kind of fell apart there for you guys?
I think the big thing, I mean, there's a lack of communication, I think, the entire game. But that second half, I feel like we really didn't
communicate
it stopped,
well.
Like, yeah, I mean, the first goal was definitely just off of miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was communicating, and the guy just made a beautiful run right in the middle. Nobody picked him up. He just touched it, and by the time he got his first touch, it was one-on-one with the keeper. And
yeah.
I mean, one-on-one with a goalie, if you're the shooter, all the advantage is to you.
Right.
So that one was just a little miscommunication breakdown. And then the second goal, that was 2 days ago.
Right, trying to remember.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how, but I know that was, I remember Coach saying that was just another, we weren't communicating, nobody was communicating on the field or off the field on that one. So just lack of communication gave up those 2 goals to give them the win.
Well, looking at the standings in the HCAC for the men's soccer, Rose is at the top of the conference. They are 3-0 and 6-4-1 overall. Hanover is 3-0 and 6-5 overall. Defiance is 2-1, 5-7 overall. Mount St. Joe is 2-1 and 3-8-1 overall. Transylvania is 1-1-1 in the conference, 3-4-3 on the year. Manchester is 1-2, 3-8-1 on the year. Franklin's 1-2, 3-9 on the year. Earlham is 1-2, 2-8 on the year. Anderson is 0-2-1, 3-7-2 on the year. And Bluffton in that last place in the conference, 0-3 and 1-11 on the year. So hopefully you guys will bounce back. You guys have a home game on Wednesday. It's a 3:30 kickoff. You guys will be hosting Earlham. And have you guys done any scouting? Well, I know it's late on a Monday. It's about 6:45. And you guys don't play until Wednesday. But, like, Earlham's sitting, what?
Two seats ahead of us.
Yeah, 2 seats ahead of you at 1-2, 2-8. So could be a decent game where you guys can finally get that second win on the year and first win in the conference.
Yeah, we really haven't talked much about what they're doing. I know we're doing some film tomorrow, watching our film, watching their film. Just that's doing our scouting tomorrow. I mean, Coach usually already has stuff he's gone through.
Yeah.
But today we're just really focusing on us,
right,
our team, getting us back into it. I mean,
working the kinks out.
Yeah, we've had three conference games, and I mean, we haven't really had a blowout. I mean, Rose was kind of a blowout, but I mean, we've had close games, just working ourselves, trying to get ahead, get our finishing down, getting our defensive shape, our communication, just working as a whole unit. I'm just worrying about ourselves today, and then tomorrow bring in the what are they going to do, how are we going to react,
right?
Or be proactive more than sit back and wait for them to strike, just go at them.
Yeah, no, that's totally understandable. Well, good luck to you on Wednesday and the rest of the men's soccer team. Make sure you guys go out and support your Beavers on Wednesday. So moving on to volleyball, the volleyball team they hosted a tri-match over the weekend here on the Salmer Center. They went up against the HCAC leading Rolls Holman, and they also hosted number 18 nationally ranked Hope on Saturday, October 6th. Rolls Holman had not lost a set in conference action until Saturday afternoon when the Beavers took three in a row after dropping the lid lifter. The Beavers are now 3-0 in the HCAC after downing Rolls Holman 25-21. Actually, no, they lost that one. Excuse me. They lost set one, 25-21. They won the last three sets, 25-12, 25-17, and 25-19 against Rose. So congratulations on that big victory against the leading Rose Holman. Bluffton fired a whopping 11 aces at the Engineers, and the Beavers' served receive was equally impressive with not one receiving error. So congratulations. That I know that was one of the big things earlier on in the season when talking to Coach Darnell about what's been going on. He's like, errors. That's really is what's been killing us, and they've really homed in on fixing that. Mm-hmm. Courtney Zimfer led the Beavers with four aces, and freshman Brooke Clement added three. The offense was led by seniors Bethany Martini with 24 kills, and the returning Aaron Weisgarber pitched in 13. Weisgarber hit a blistering 440 with just two errors on 25 attacks, while Martini torched the Engineers with a 373 hitting percentage. Excuse me. Weisgarber also hit another milestone, doling out her 4,000 career assist. Congratulations to Aaron Weisgarber on that impressive milestone. That's a lot, man. Over 40, that's 1,000 assists her year. Yeah. I mean,
now
her
over,
season,
and
yeah.
She still has however many more games they have to play to rack up more.
Mm-hmm. So congratulations to Aaron on that big victory. She now sits at 4,041 after directing the offense with 42 against Rose. Jesse Gibson and Jessica Lavelle both chipped in 7 kills apiece. Defensively, Abby Rohrbach and Clement were all over, picking up 22 and 20 digs, respectively. Weisgarber added 11 digs to help secure the 4-set win. In the second match of the day, the 18th-ranked Flying Dutchman took down the Beavers in 3 sets, unfortunately. Martini and Lavelle paced the attack with 8 and 7 kills, respectively. Freshman Maddie White again stepped into a setting role and had a team-high 17 assists. Rounding up double-digit digs were Clement with 15, Zimper with 11, and Martini with 10. The Beavers will put their spotless 3-0 HCAC mark on the line Wednesday, October 10th, when they travel to rival Defiance College for a 7 p.m. showdown with the Yellow Jackets. They've actually impressed me. Beavers, this volleyball team has really impressed me on how they've really stepped up. I mean, it's not that they haven't stepped up the entire year. They just had... let's kind of compare it to like D1 football. So the big talk on like seeding wise is strength of schedule. And I say the Beavers' strength of schedule is pretty outstanding. I mean, you compete against these top other schools in the Division 3, and I think some of them are Division 2 teams as well. Like, yes.
Yeah, and some of those bigger tournament things they've won too. Yeah.
I mean, yes, some of them don't turn out how you want to and you take the loss, but they're learning from that, and they're now 11-10 overall. They're 3-0 undefeated in the conference. They're at the top of the conference, and really, they're just on a roll, man. And
yeah,
I'm liking what I'm seeing.
I mean, every week we go back and it's like, how are they doing at the beginning of the year? I mean, I remember we were talking and it was like,
they had four straight losses at one point. Yeah.
They had their record was really flopped one sided to the loss.
Yeah.
Over the win. And now they've just picked up and they've just,
they're now
keep winning. Now their record's 11 and 10.
So they're a game over 500.
Yeah.
And leading the conference, Rose is second after dropping that four set match to us on Saturday. They're 3-1 in the conference, 13-10 overall. Harlem's 2-1 in the conference, 14-9 overall. Transy is 2-1 in the conference, 8-9 overall. Anderson's 1-2. Hanover's 1-2. Franklin's 1-2. Mount St. Joseph's 1-2. Manchester's 1-2. All tied for that fifth place spot in the conference. And then there's Defiance, who's 1-3 in that last place standing. I mean, I don't know how to really word it because, yes, they're at the bottom of the conference, but there's so many teams ahead of them where Defiance could leap over them. So, like,
I mean, how many teams have the same record of 1-2?
Five. There's five teams in the conference who are 1-2, and then there's Defiance at 1-3. So, to start the year off, our Beavers did play Defiance in that tournament. They beat Defiance to start the year off. So, hopefully, that will happen again on Wednesday when they travel to take on the Yellow Jackets in Defiance. So moving on from before we move on from volleyball.
Yes.
If you guys aren't doing anything in the next 10 minutes, the JV volleyball team will be in action tonight at 7:00 in the Sommer Center. So make sure if you aren't doing anything, come out and support your JV squad. Last but not least, the last team who was in action for Bluffton over the weekend was our football team. And things did not go in the right direction for our football team as they dropped this game to Rose Holdman 23-14. So our team traveled across Indiana to take on the Fighting Engineers in an intense HCAC battle on Saturday. The teams would go back and forth, but turnovers came back to haunt the visiting Beavers as they took a 23-14 loss on the road. Bluffton dipped to 1-5 overall and 1-3 in conference play, while Rose Holdman improved to 2-4 and 2-2 in the HCAC. The Beavers would be the first to get on the board after Adam Duncan hauled. Excuse me, the Marbeck food's coming back to haunt me. The Beavers would be the first to get on the board after Adam Duncan hauled in a 17-yard touchdown pass from Plummy Gardner to take a 7-0 lead with 11:09 to go in that first quarter. After a Gardner interception, the Fighting Engineers would answer with a score of their own to start the second quarter to even up the game at 7 apiece, thanks to a 2-yard trout by Garrett Wright. Rose Holdman would take a 10-7 advantage in a halftime after Adam Clark hit a 35-yard field goal as time expired. So it looks like heading into that first half, at the end of the first half, it was a
tight-knit game.
Yeah. So Bluffton started the third quarter with a fury as a 13-yard scramper by Plummy Gardner found the end zone as the visitors took a 14-10 advantage. Garrett Wright scored his second touchdown of the day with 7:49 left in the quarter as the Engineers took a 16-14 lead following a missed extra point. The Beavers were unable to answer as the Fighting Engineers took another interception to the house for a 45-yard pick six and a 23-14 spread with 2:27 left in regulation. Bluffton attempted to make a late game comeback, but the drive stalled following another interception that sealed the Rose Holdman victory. Gardner struggled under center, going 9 of 20 for 107 yards with a touchdown and 5 interceptions. Drake Campbell was a workhorse on the ground as the senior running back pounded out 115 yards on 24 carries. That's actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our running game has really improved these last couple of weeks, and I really think they should just rely on the run game. I mean, don't get me wrong. Plummy's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
But he's struggling. He's been struggling as of late. The last couple of weeks, he's just been struggling. And if our running game's there, I mean, yes, you don't really want to rely on Campbell running the entire time. But if you get that run game going and get that play action pass, like, I really think that that could be a lethal weapon.
And I mean, we talked earlier in the year about our offensive line and how our run game was not working because
And I really think they fixed it, and it seems to be working.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Plumlee, though, added 60 yards on 11 rushing attempts with a touchdown. Leading the wide receiver crew was D'Angelo Woods, who hauled in 3 catches for 30 yards, while Adam Duncan tallied 2 catches for 28 yards and that touchdown. Bluffton was able to muster up 296 total yards of offense while holding the Fighting Engineers to just 258 on the afternoon. The defense was led by senior Ollie Moore, who tallied 7 solo tackles in the contest. Wow. Junior Dylan Schaefer and sophomore Antonio Crosty both added 7 total tackles for Bluffton. Notching an interception was Donovan Clark. So, I mean, looking at some of these stats, they played well.
Yeah.
I mean, they played well, but the only thing that really hurt them was those turnovers. 5 picks.
Yeah.
And if they can fix that, it could be a good day for the Beavers at home this Saturday. I mean, because looking at it, Bluffton had 5 interceptions. Rose only had 1. And I think those were the only turnovers of the game. I mean, Bluffton had a fumble, but we didn't lose it. We recovered it. I mean, so didn't Rose, too. They fumbled a ball once and they recovered it. So technically 6 turnovers. Well, okay, no, 5 turnovers because we didn't lose that fumble. Mm-hmm. So excuse me on that. But, I mean, looking at them, these aren't bad stats. And, I mean, our running game has really improved over the last couple of weeks. So if we can really get our run game going and get on the board, it could be a good day for the Beavers on Saturday for homecoming. It's homecoming week here at Bluffton. Don't forget, tomorrow, the Wit will be kicking off homecoming week with Let's Make a Deal. We have a very awesome grand prize, and I don't think any of you want to miss out on that chance to win this pretty sick grand prize.
Me curious.
Making you? Do you not know what it is?
Uh-uh.
Well, it looks like you're going to have to find out. So looking at the standings for football here in the conference, Mount St. Joseph... Excuse me, I got the hiccups. Mount St. Joseph is at the top of the conference at 4-0. They are 5-1 overall. Franklin is just behind him at 3-0, 4-1 on the year. Hanover is 3-0, 3-2 on the season. Manchester is 2-2, 2-4 overall. Rose is 2-2, 2-4 overall. Anderson is 1-2, excuse me, 1-4 overall. Bluffton's 1-3, 1-5 overall. And Defiance and Earlham. Defiance is 0-3, Earlham's 0-4 in the conference, and they're still both winless on the season. So looking at who Bluffton has next, I do believe it's Manchester.
Yeah.
Yeah, Manchester will be coming into town, the Spartans, on October 13th for homecoming day for the Beavers. That game is scheduled for kickoff at 1:30, so Floyd Krajovic and I will be live here on 96.1 The Wit with pregame coverage around 1:15, 1:20-ish. So make sure you guys tune in for that. As I mentioned before we close out the show this evening, it's the top of the 7th in the National League Division Series of Game 4 between the Los Angeles Dodgers, my Los Angeles Dodgers, and the Atlanta Braves. The Dodgers currently have a 3-2 lead, top of the 7th with no outs. So hopefully we can keep that rolling. Last time I checked, it was 2-1 Braves. So it must have been a 2-run shot there for the Dodgers. But if y'all really want to see how this game plays out on Game 4, tune into Fox Sports 1 as that game is currently on TV. And that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Friday. Check out our previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play The Wit 96.1 Podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our previous check out our website, BlufftonWit.com, and subscribe. This has been Tyler Avila, joined along with Trent Mast, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beave.